I want us to welcome Tough Talk now, who are going to share the gospel of Jesus. You ready? Let's welcome them. Mate, why don't you hit Eye of the Tiger? Oh, I like it. Anyone feeling this? Oh. Anyone feeling strong this morning? I'm going to hand it over now to Joe.
Thank you, Tim. Well, good morning, everyone. Nothing like a bit of Rocky to wake you up, eh? I think. But anyway, it's great to be here. It really is great. And thanks for inviting us up here. I think it's been 24 years, I think, Tough Talk's been going, which is incredible, really, when you think about it. I'm just amazed that we've still managed to, you know, put on some sort of interest for people. I mean, it's incredible, really, especially when you think where we come from. But anyway, God's got a sense of humour, that's for sure. But it is great to be here. It really is. And do you know what? It's lovely coming back to this sort of area. So I was, as you can probably tell by my delicate tones, I wasn't brought up in Cambridge. Even though I've moved up there with the family, we actually come from Loughton. So I'm a Loughton boy, born and bred. Then had a short spell in Bucklersdale, and then moved to Debden. And then I took the family up to Ely, up in Cambridgeshire. So we've sort of progressed up the M11, I think. I don't know if that's progression or not, really, but there we go. So it is lovely coming back and seeing the old places. And I used to love fishing over Ely Valley. Don't know if you've got any fishermen here, but anyway, I'm going off on a tangent now, so I'll shut up. But anyway, it is a privilege to be able to share and share our stories with you guys. So for those that don't know about Tough Talk, Tough Talk is a registered Christian charity. We are charity workers. Some people say charity cases, and that's probably closer to the truth. But we do, but we are charity workers, although we do have full-time jobs. I work in London. I've been up there since 1990, so I do this in my spare time. I would love to do this full-time, but just can't afford to do it in my full-time. Ian actually has his own business, but he's now moved more into doing Tough Talk full-time. So this is probably Ian's full-time job. And what we do is we travel this country and other countries, and we share our testimonies of how we once were, what changed us, and how we are now. And we do powerlifting demonstrations. So you might be thinking, well, why powerlifting? Why do you do powerlifting demonstrations? Well, it is very, very simple. We can't do anything else. No, seriously, we can't. We can't. You know, this is, if you like, our X factor. I was listening to some preacher, and he was talking about, you've got to do your X factor as a Christian. I was thinking, well, X factor, what's that? That's our lifting weights. How foolish is that? But that is what we do. And obviously, you know, God does have a sense of humour, because we've been doing it now, as I said, 24, 25 years. And we've been telling our stories, and we've had the privilege of seeing many come to faith through the ministry of Tough Talk. You know, we don't consider ourselves tough, we don't consider ourselves hard, but life is tough. It is a tough message. And the gospel offends people, but the gospel is an offensive message, as some of you well know. But we will not stop preaching the gospel. And personally, that's why I think we've been going for so long, because we will not compromise the gospel. It's black and white stuff to us. So love us or hate us, you will certainly get the gospel. We do not compromise. And as I said, we do a lot of work in the prison systems. Ian's recently come back from HMP Bure up in Norfolk, but we do the prisons up and down this country, the Scottish prisons as well. We just come back from the States not so long ago. We're in Canada. We worked in some of the prisons in Europe. We went to Moldova and Romania. And these are some serious prisons, ladies and gentlemen. You know, real hardcore. I mean, you go in and the staff are all balaclavaed up and got guns and weapons, and it's a real dark place. But God calls you into those places. You know, if we don't go, I don't know who else goes, but you've got to just go into those places. And there was one, I'll just give you one quick story. We went into, so this was in Romania, we went into the gym in the prison in Romania, and this was a dark place. And what you find in the prisons, in the gymnasium areas in the prisons, is where all the tough men who run the prisons. So if our philosophy is, if we can get hold of them and preach the gospel and they get saved, then that often filters down to those that are under them. And we went into this particular gymnasium. I'm not going to call it a gymnasium. It was a room. It was like a box. This was an old Soviet prison, 1960s. I mean, it was a hellhole. You want to see hell on earth, take yourself to some of these prisons. They're very dark places. And we went in there, but they weren't expecting us. So the actual prisoners who were training were not expecting us. And if you know anything about training culture, you don't stop prisoners training. It's a very bad thing to do. It's a silly thing to do. So we've gone in there, and they're looking at us, and we're looking at them, and it's a bit like a standoff now, and there was a lot more of them. And the guy that took us in there, he disappeared behind some sort of bulletproof glass thing. So we're like looking at each other, and Ian said to me, just start lifting, Joe, just start lifting. So we started lifting the weights, and it was on a knife edge at one stage, it really was. But thankfully, by God's grace, they came around and they started listening. And the main guy, we knew we'd won the main guy's interest because he looked at us, and I'd just done a lift and I stuck everything on the bar because he weren't impressed up to that point. And he looked at us, and he just done this thing with his head. He went, and I thought, that's it. I don't think he's going to kill us now. And he didn't. And then we ended up having a competition with the guys. And by the end of it, they were like our best mates. It was quite frightening. We just legged it out of there. But anyway, it was. But that gives you the sort of idea that we do. We do sort of like what we call hit and runs. And we were out on the street yesterday. Who was out with us yesterday? We had some fun, didn't we? Went out there, shared the gospel. And it was so lovely and peaceful out there. And then we rocked up. And we cranked up a bit of Rocky and started screaming and shouting. Somebody come out and had a go. But there we go. You know, we don't apologise for that. We really don't. But that is Tough Talk. And as I said, it's been a great ministry. There's about eight of us on the team. There's a guy called Arthur White that's not with us today. He lives down in Bodmin. But we've just come back from Creation Fest. Has anyone go to Creation Fest or hear of that? I think it's a bit like some of the other, not want to say Spring Harvest, but it's like some of the other Christian festivals. But that was good. So we shared down there. So that's what we do. So what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to be lifting weights because that's all I can do. Ian's going to share his story. I'm going to share my story as well in a minute. And then we're going to have, I think we've got time for a competition, Pastor. I think we've got, so is anyone up for a competition? Anyone want to join? The kids have got their hands up. The women are putting their husbands' hands up. Oh, dearie me. Often at this point, a lot of people start pointing at their other people. He's coming up. But we'll find out who the strongest man, woman, boy, girl of Lee Valley is. I said Fade and Boys yesterday, didn't I? The Lee Valley is. We're going to have some fun. So let me just tell you about powerlifting, for those that don't know. So powerlifting was my sport. In powerlifting, you've got three disciplines. You've got what's called the squat, which is what I'm going to demonstrate. You've got something called the bench press, which some of you are going to demonstrate, hopefully. And then we've got something called the deadlift. And in a competition, it's the total amount that you can lift on all three disciplines determines where you get placed. So I often get asked, well, I'll share with you. My best squat was 320 kilos. My best bench press was 220 kilos. And my best deadlift was 320 kilos. So that's 704 pounds over 50 stone. At one stage, I was ranked number one in Britain for my body weight, which was 100 kilo body weight. I broke the British squat record. I had the British total record back in 2006. Seems such a long time ago now. I get so old. I went to the Commonwealth. I got silver at the Commonwealth. And I had a bronze at the European Championship. So I had some success. I am pleased to say that I was drug-free. There was a lot of guys I was competing against, some of my old mates that obviously aren't Christian, but I knew that they were taking drugs. So I can also stand up knowing that I competed drug-free. I give God the credit. You know, it's amazing. I don't often go on like this. Maybe I do. It's amazing, when I joined Tough Talk, I was not a lifter. I used to enjoy training, but I was not a lifter. And then Arthur got round me, who's part of Tough Talk, and built me up, and he was a world champion. And God, in his mercy, I ended up becoming a British champion through powerlifting, through Tough Talk. So it's amazing. God doesn't just give you something. He wants you to really excel at these things, and he does give you the tools for it. But there is a downside. I mean, squatting does knock it out of you. It's a lot of weight on your back. I used to be 6'2". Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I've always been hobbit size, but there we go. But we have fun. So let me tell you my story before I hand over to Ian. It's always dangerous giving me the microphone. It really is. In fact, the last prison I think we spoke in, three inmates finished their sentence before I finished talking. So I'll be here for another 2.5 hours. No, I won't. I wasn't brought up a Christian. My dad was an atheist. My mum had an insurance brokers in Loughton. In fact, it still exists just, Woodcock Insurance Brokers. So my mum ran that for a number of years. And my dad was a footballer. Used to play for Palace and Orient back in the 60s. And then he went to the BBC. But at a crucial time when I needed him, he left. He left my mum and he moved abroad. And I didn't see him for a number of years. And that devastated me as a young man. Absolutely devastated me because my dad was my hero. I loved him. I worshipped him. And then when he left, this darkness just descended on me. I wouldn't say destroyed me, but my outlook on life changed dramatically. You know, I wasn't brought up in a Christian household. I didn't have my identity in Christ or anything like that. So I was fleeting from one thing to the other. And what happened for me is when my father left me, this darkness descended on me that started to change my outlook, started to change the way I would act around people. On the outside, everything seemed fine, but there were some things going on internally that were really damaging, not just to me, but my close family around me. You know, at school, I wasn't too interested. I started to veer off of any interest at school, started to mess around, started to play truant, started to, I'm ashamed to say, get involved in taking recreational drugs. I've got to be careful here because my children, I don't know how much of the story they've heard. It was a dark time for me as a young man with no direction in life. And I used to try and, I think, find my identity in sport or find my identity in anything I possibly could. But what I found is nothing really satisfied. That's the truth. Through my schooling, as I said, I used to go to Buckersteel Boys. Does anyone remember Buckersteel Boys? You do? Okay. It's now Roding Valley, I think. They combined the Loughton girls and the Buckersteel Boys, now Roding Valley. But in the day, they were separated. And so I was at Buckersteel Boys. And as I said, I excelled at sport, but anything else just really wasn't for me at this stage. I would rather truant and mess around. And it wasn't good for me. It really wasn't. And, you know, that saying about the devil makes use of idle hands, that is so true. That is so true for me back in those days, those early teen days. So when I left school at 16, I had this moment of clarity. I thought, I've got to get a job before my exam results come out. Because if I can go and convince a boss to take me on, then I think I can do the job. And he won't be interested once my exam results come out. You know, kids, don't listen to this advice. This is not advice. Son, don't listen to this. But this is where I was at. This is where I was at. So I applied for a job up in the city of London back in the early 90s. And he took me on. And this guy took me on. And I found myself working up in the financials in the early 90s. And I thought everything was great. The money was coming in. And I was having a very wild time. But as I said, I had no direction. I had no direction. So I started to then throw myself into the excesses of the city life, the drinks, the drugs, the relationships. Everything to me was to the excess. There was no level of normality, you know. Nothing ever satisfied. I think that's what I'm trying to leave you with. Nothing satisfied. It got worse for me because I then found myself getting involved in witchcraft. How I got involved in that is a long story, but I found myself dabbling with the occult, with tarot, spiritualism, Ouija, and that led me down a very dark path. See, I had a lot of mental health issues as a child, a number of issues, and this just seemed to make it worse, but it played on my fears. I got involved in this heavily, and it started to take a real hold on me. So it was not a good combination. It was a cocktail of trouble, it really was. So during the day, I'm working in the city, you'd think everything was fine, but at night time, I'm going out living a very wild lifestyle. It all came to a head for me one evening when I was round a friend's house in Epping and we were messing around. People know what the area is like. It's very paganistic. There's a lot of spiritual stuff going on. And I was messing around and all hell broke loose with the things that I was doing. And it scared the life out of me, really scared me. And I remember saying the Lord's Prayer because that's all I could remember from school. I thought, right, if there's this evil, there's got to be a good. There's got to be a good. You know, you can't have a negative without a positive. So I thought to myself, right, I'm now gonna say the Lord's Prayer. So I remember saying the Lord's Prayer over and over again. And I remember saying, Jesus, if you're real, I need you because I'm in too deep now. I've got into a level I shouldn't have got involved in. And I said, Jesus, if you're real, can you get me out of this? And if you do get me out of this, I'll serve you all the days of my life. And I remember I was on a motorbike at the time and I was riding home, and because, you know, I thought I was going to die on a motorbike, all these things that I was being told and what happened. So I was in deep fear. I got home. I went straight, ran straight to my bedroom. I was still living at home at the time. And my mother had this big family Bible. I have no idea to this day where she got it from. It was massive. And I remember sleeping with that on my chest, thinking, if anything comes at me, I'm going to hit it with the Bible, right? So I recognised the Bible was good. Just, I was in a strange place. But anyway, that's where I was at. It sort of done the trick. It also nearly killed me. This thing was really heavy. So I put that to one side. I didn't get involved in any of the witchcraft stuff anymore. I kept well away from that. And I'm still living this very hedonistic lifestyle in a city. About 6 months passed. I'm lying in bed. It was Good Friday. I'd been out drinking heavily the night before, I'm ashamed to say. And my mum said to me, do you want to come to church with me this morning? And she'd just become a Christian. She'd just started to recently go to St. John's Buckhurst Hill. And she came to me and said, do you want to go to church with me this morning? I said, Mum, I'm really not interested. But as I was lying there, she went downstairs. As I was lying there, I heard a voice very clearly say, Joe, get up and go. And I remember looking around the room thinking, what was that? And I ignored it. I just thought it was my mind playing tricks on me. So I got comfortable again. And then the second time was, Joe, get up and go. And I got up, I got changed. I said, Mum, I'm coming to church with you. So she was a bit shocked. There's a little lesson for all us parents. Keep praying for your kids. And this is, I can only share what happened to me. As I walked over to St. John's Buckhurst Hill from where we used to live in Buckhurst Hill, just along the road, as I walked through the door, I got this overwhelming feeling of love, like I was being loved by a father that I couldn't see. It was like somebody had just lifted a veil from my eyes. It was really one of those eureka moments or epiphanies. It was incredible. It was quite bizarre as well for those around me. And as I walked into the church, they used to have this beautiful flower display. I know it sounds crazy coming from a powerlifter, but I'll share it anyway. They had this beautiful flower display. And I said to my mum, look how beautiful these flowers are. They're amazing. And she's looking at me as if to say, what is the matter with you? But something just hit me as I walked in the door. I mean, I recognised now it was the Spirit of God. But at the time, I didn't understand. All of a sudden, my eyes were opened. They were truly opened. I could see clearly for the first time. Everything was vibrant. And I was walking around a church and I got chatting with people. And this fella made a beeline for me. And he seemed real down-to-earth guy, a young guy. And he said, oh, what are you doing here? And I sort of said, well, you know, sort of mum's dragged me along. And I said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I'm the vicar of the church. And I looked at him and I said, but you're normal. I had a preconceived idea of vicars. I did. I'm ashamed to say sandals and socks. It weren't for me. It just wasn't. There's nothing wrong with sandals and there's nothing wrong with socks. You just don't put them together, fellas. That's all I'll say on the subject. Although my boy now wears sliders and socks. I think that's the latest thing. Or maybe I might be out of touch already. But anyway, so I got chatting with him and I just then unloaded on him. I unloaded everything I got involved in because I wanted answers. I wanted answers to everything. And he was very gracious with me. And over a period of weeks and months, he shared with me about Jesus. And he answered all of my questions with regards to spirituality and Christianity and everything that I threw at him, he answered. And eventually he said, Joe, do you know what? You've got a choice to make. And I did have a choice to make because I was living a hedonistic lifestyle. He said, that will destroy you. It will destroy you. But Jesus has come to set you free from that. Jesus wants that relationship restored with you. He wants you to turn to him. He wants you to turn to the creator of the universe. But you've got to turn away from your sins. He said, you've got to repent of your sins. You've got to follow Christ. It's no good saying, yeah, okay, Jesus, let's see what you got. You've got to repent and follow him. Because he died for you on the cross. He surrendered himself up for you. So you need to surrender to him. And I did that. And when I did that, my life truly changed. A lot of the insecurities that I had started to leave me overnight. I had a lot of issues that I've shared some with. They just seemed to vanish. It was a battle. It was a battle. Because of the doors that I'd opened with the witchcraft, all of a sudden the enemy wanted me back. So then I had a long period of horrendous battles going on with forces that, I don't want to get into the Christian jargon too much, but you know what I'm saying, that really oppressed me. Night after night, 3 a.m. wake-up calls. I got slung across a room. I had all sorts of crazy stuff happen to me by things you cannot see. I ended up having going to a big conference, having a full exorcism, if anyone knows what that is. I was in a very dark place. Even though I'd been set free, there were still issues because of the doors I'd opened because of the witchcraft that needed closing. And God in his mercy totally cleaned me from all of that stuff. Not only did he set me free, he then wanted to clean me up. And he totally cleaned me up. And then I really knew what freedom was. I truly knew what freedom was. God has been very gracious to me. Before I hand over, I just want to share one thing very quickly. To be what I would call a fruitful Christian, there's three things that I think are key for that. So the first thing is you have to be in the Word of God. You have to be in your Bible. You know, if you're not looking at the world through the lens of the Scripture, you will accept anything. You have to look at the world through the lens of the Bible. You have to. It's critical. You have to be in fellowship. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. It also says if you hang around with fools, you become a fool. You've got to be in good fellowship. You've got to speak to each other, encourage. You don't know where anyone is at. I've got a mate in the city who I meet up with daily. You know, sometimes I find out he's on the edge, he's on the brink. And if I wasn't to share with him and him share with me, you don't know where that ends up. You know, people are fragile. You've got to build each other up in the faith. It is so important. And you've got to be in prayer. You've got to be in prayer. It's, you know, you've got to be talking to your Father daily. There's an analogy with regards to fellowship I'll share with you, and then I'll definitely hand over. Who's seen Gladiator? It's a great movie, right? It's a great movie. Nothing like a bit of Russell Crowe fighting the world. Well, there's a scene in Gladiator where Maximus Aurelius, Russell Crowe, is in the Colosseum, and they're reenacting the Battle of Carthage. And I don't know if you know this, it's fairly near the end. And so he's in there with his mates. He's in the middle of the Colosseum, and he turns around to his buddies and he says, "Whatever comes through those gates, will do better if we stick together." I don't know if you remember the scene, and then the chariots come out and the archers are on the chariots and they start to pick off Maximus' his compatriots. But then what they do is all of a sudden they pull together and they form in the middle of one tight unit and they overturn the Battle of Carthage and the chariots flick over and good old Russell Crowe wins the day. And I think that's what it is with fellowship. And I just wanted to share that. Fellowship is so important. If you stick together, you work together as a team. You know, iron sharpens iron. Build each other up in the faith because it's a battle out there. And when we leave here on a Sunday, we still go back into that world and it's tough. Pick up your phone to your Christian brother and sister. Ask how they're doing. Then ask how they're really doing and get alongside them, support them, because it is a tough world we're in. And if we think we can put on a masquerade on a Sunday, it won't wash. So I just want to encourage you. Just you know, get alongside your brothers and sisters because it's a battle out there. Anyway, I'm done. Ian McDowell.
Excellent. So we're going to, Joe's just been putting off the inevitable. He's got to lift some weights now. So Mr. PA man, how are you feeling though? Is it Mark, isn't it? Mark was out on the streets with us yesterday. You came about third in our strongman challenge, didn't you? So did you win, Tim? Did you win? No, you didn't, did you? Did you win? You nearly, about second maybe, I don't know. So we got on the bar 60 kilos. We're going to have some of that music, please, Mark. And Joe's going to warm up. As he's told you, this exercise is called the squat. We got 180 kilos up here today. So we're going to try and load the bar right up and see if Joe can lift that. Can put your hands together. Pump that music right up for Joe. Big Joe Lampshire, come on. Here we go. The deep knee bend, the squat, you step back, head up, all the way down, and press up. Big squat, give him a cheer, come on. Oh, Joe, excellent. Just warming up his shoulders, warming up his legs, getting the blood circulating, give him a big clap. He's got a long way to go. There you go, fantastic, there you go. Big Joe, give him a clap. Wonderful. So that's 60 kilos. Where's my volunteers? You don't have to come up yet. I'm just sitting. Not yet. You calm yourself. He's getting excited. And what about the young people? Any young people joining in with us? We take girls as well, young girls. And yeah, we got the young fella going to uni and all that. So, and your son's coming up. Is he good? So we're going to have a quick competition in a minute. I'm going to load the weights up. You can put Rocky on pause if you can, Mark. Mark, put Brookney on pause for a minute for me. Thank you. My sport, Joe told you a little bit about his sport. My sport was bodybuilding. I don't know if you've ever seen a bodybuilding competition before, but bodybuilders stand on stage in a little pair of swimming trunks. We used to call them posing briefs. And I had a red pair of blue pair, and for the finals, I had a silver shimmering pair of posing briefs. And I grew up... Yeah, you could cheer and all that. It was a long time ago, Joe, wasn't it? And I grew up in East London. They're the best football club in the country, West Ham United. Fantastic. Bless you, brothers. It's too late for all that now, mate. It's too late. I remember walking into this bodybuilding gym called Wag Bennett's in Forest Gate, and I started to train with the weights, and I started to compete, and I won some trophies, and I can remember winning this competition down in Portsmouth. I came back with my trophy. The local paper, the Newham Recorder, came along, took some pictures of me, started asking me about the competition, and I took it all seriously. I put oil on my body doing these muscle poses for the fella in front of my trophy. He said, "What kind of food do bodybuilders eat?" Bodybuilders eat a lot of protein. At the time, I was eating a lot of eggs. I said, "I eat about 15 to 20 eggs a day." He said, "That's disgusting. How do you do that?" I said, "I drink them raw, five at a time." And I can remember he made some notes, and I made the center pages of the Newham Recorder. The headlines read, "Extra Strong Ian eats 7,000 eggs a year." And they put eggs all over the paper, and I'm pointing to a subheading that said, "This is no yolk." And I vowed that day never to tell anyone anything about my life again. Joe's gotten the bar for 20 kilos. I've spent the last 25 years telling people about my life, and I'm about to do that again in a minute. Mr. PA man, Mark, put on some music for him. This is a bit heavier. About 100 kilos, we're saying, Joe. 100 kilos. Give him a big clap. We got Rocky to inspire us, Joe. Here we go. Come on, my friend. Steps back. Point his toes all the way down. Come on. Easy weight for Joe. Give him a clap. Come on. Watch closely, volunteers. Come on. Here we go. Come on. Wow. Looking good, Joe. Excellent stuff. You're in. Give him a big clap. That's awesome. So watching closely what you're going to be doing, my friend. He's looking more worried now. I was in the gym a few years ago, and there was a fella called Gary. He had 100 kilos on the bar. And as he went down, both his kneecaps popped out. Bang, like a shotgun, it all went off. And you've got to be very careful, haven't you? In fact, you got even up here, I'm not sure, is there a baptismal tank here? Is it? It's okay, is it good? I mean, it's fine, she's saying, good. So we've done it over baptismal tanks and all sorts of stages. We will do something like 4 or 5 meetings a week, anything from school assemblies to street outreaches. And we've only ever been through one stage. That's not bad. Oh, well, you're getting more worried now, aren't you? It was a few years ago down in Essex. I think it was in Raynham or somewhere. It was on the back of this trailer. And my pal Arthur White, who Tim knows, was lifting. We had metal weights back in those days. And the collar came off, and suddenly one of the weights slipped, and he went like that, and bang, bang, bang. And there was a hole that appeared in the stage. And we looked at it, we kind of didn't know what to do, you know? And we got the weights quickly off the stage, and we did the decent Christian thing. We legged it. Didn't tell anyone, you know what I mean? And I'm going to tell you, I was sitting in the gym one day, and my pal said, "Ian, if we're going to win competitions, we need to get on anabolic steroids." Steroids are a synthetic hormone. In fact, they're one of the biggest drugs that have been distributed in the prison system today. Steroids can kill you if you abuse them. I've had friends that have died from the abuse of steroids. And I'm ashamed to say, unlike Joe, I can't boast I was drug-free. I started taking drugs, and I abused and misused anabolic steroids for about 8 years of my life. Ended up in hospital. I damaged my kidneys. I got myself in all sorts of problems, all because of the steroids. I developed something called gynecomastia. I developed something like roid rage. I became a very angry young man. I had a temper all the time, and my life started to spiral out of control. Sitting in the gym one day down in Bow, East London, there was this fella. He was the scariest bloke I'd ever seen. They used to call him Mad Dog. Mad Dog had a chewed up face and no tooth, and scarred ears. He was a scary man. And he pulled me aside one day. He said, "Here, boy, come here." He said, "Do you want to work with me on the door tonight, son?" He said, "Someone's let me down." It was Christmas Eve, and I was skint, but I was looking at him thinking, not if I end up looking like you know what I mean? And he says, I'll give you a double bubble, boy, if you come to work with me. Double the money. I didn't realise everyone was on double bubble. And I went to work with this fella, and we pulled up outside this boozer in Roman Road, East London. And just before we got out the car. Now, this is way before the security industry, authority, licensing and all that sort of stuff. There's this fella sitting with me. He was running a gang that was running raves and pubs and bars. And he looked at me and he pulled a small rounders back from out of his seat, all wrapped up with a bit of tape. He said, here, son, stick this in your jacket in case you need it tonight. And he handed me this like homemade truncheon. And I put it in my coat for, what am I getting myself into? He says, here, boy, come up here. I'll introduce you to your colleagues. We went up to the door and he said, this is Dave the Bus. I was looking at this fella thinking, wow, the size of this guy. And he said, this is One-Eyed Mark. And I worked with Mad Dog, One-Eyed Mark and Dave the Bus for many years and knew nothing more about them. And life just has a way, doesn't it, of spiraling you out of control. We've got 140 kilos in the bar. So please, Joe's with me today. Bless him. Please put the music on. Give Joe Lampshire a big clap. Big Joe in the house, looking good. Come on. Up we go, Joe. Come on, up. Oh, give him a cheer. Come on. Easy stuff, I'm telling you. Oh, looking good, my friend. Up, 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 up. Come on. Wow, come on. And again. Excellent stuff. Big Joe, give him a clap. Fantastic. You can't beat that Rocky music, can you, hey? I love it. Wow, who said wow? It's good, isn't it? He's going to put more on in a minute. In a competition, he has to wear like a leotard. And you want him to put his leotard on? No, I'm only joking, Once upon a time, we was at a meeting there, and at the end, a couple of ladies asked when we were taking our clothes off. They thought we were Chippendales or something strange. We were a lot younger back then. Maybe we've got a bit old now. But anyway, getting back to the subject at hand. I was working in this nightclub. Now, it's really funny because we will travel all over the country doing this. And often on a Saturday or a Friday or particularly Sundays, I get up and I put the sat-nav on and it says like 3 hours or 3.5 hours to get to your destination. Yesterday, I put my sat-nav on and it said 15 minutes. I thought, praise the Lord. See, I only live in Epping now. How good is that, eh? So this is like so local to me. Thank you for having me. I'll come every week. I can remember my life started to spiral out of control and it kind of got caught up. I got caught up in a fight in a nightclub in Ilford. Anyone remember Ilford? The Ilford Pally. Anyone remember the Ilford Pally? Yeah, I thought I recognised a few of you. Mayor, it wasn't just because it was the mayor. I barred you years ago, didn't I? Is that right? Anyway, so the Ilford Pally. And I got involved in this fight down there and it was with another group of doormen and I got turned over with the guys I was with. I got squirted with ammonia in my face, burnt my eyes, burnt my mouth. And I can remember my friend who was involved in that fight had a pickaxe handle smashed across his skull and they nearly killed him. We both ended up in hospital that particular night. And I can remember I got out a couple of days later. They cleaned me up, sorted me out. But my friend, they operated on him. They put metal plates around his skull there and they wired up his jaw. His name was Ez Keitel. Ez was selling guns in East London back in those days. And he was running a part of a firm. And I can remember going and seeing Ez a few weeks after the event. Because he wasn't answering his phone. And in those days, you couldn't text each other and Snapchat each other and Instagram. If someone didn't answer their house phone, you had to go and knock on their door, didn't you? Anyone remember ringing doorbells and things? And I went and knocked on his door and he took me upstairs and we were sitting talking. You see, Ez and me, we used to do a little bit of debt collecting during the day as well. And it wasn't regulated by the Office of Fair Trade, if you know what I mean. And when I knocked on his door and he took me upstairs and he started to tell me how angry he was because these people had nearly taken his life. He couldn't see out of his eye. He had partial sight in that eye. He was on liquid food. He said, look at the hole in my mouth. You can put your finger between my teeth. They don't know what they can do with my jaw anymore. I've got constant headaches. I've got constant pain in my head. And then he did something I wasn't expecting. He just suddenly broke down and started to cry. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened in a second because Joe's loaded this right up. We've got 160 kilos on the bar. So you was wowing at 140. This is a lot of weight, so let's see what Joe can do. Mark, have we got some of that? We've got some of that inspirational music. Big Joe, come on, in the house. Here we go, Joe. 160 kilos. Oh, it's starting up. Give him a clap. Come on. Looking good, my friend. Oh, give him a cheer. Come on. Oh, excellent stuff. Come on. And again. Oh, give him a clap. That's not bad, is it? Wow. Looking good. Give him a clap. Come on. Wow, we're going to do one more. And we're going to get that line of girls up to join in. Yay, no, I'm only joking. We got the fella over there who's panicking now. He was all keen earlier, weren't you, sir? And Tim's seen us so many times, I don't know if I'm going to get you up to date. I think your son might have to take over. Yeah, that's it. Nominate him. So, we are... I'm sitting there with this fella, and we're talking, and he just suddenly started to break down, and he started to cry in front of me. And I'm really not a nice bloke. I didn't really know what to do with this fella. I'm not deep. I'm a bit shallow, and I'm looking at him thinking, I want to go. I mean, I wasn't there to help him. I was there to get some work done. I didn't care about him, and he was breaking down, and I didn't know what to say to him. And I suddenly found words coming out of my mouth that at the time I didn't quite know what I was talking about and where they were coming from. I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments when you've said something, for why did I say that? But anyway, it went like this. I said to him, why didn't you come to church with me? I thought, what was that? And he's looked out, he's gone, you talking about church for Ian? Ain't I got enough problems as it is? I says, mate, please don't think I'm a Christian or a Bible basher or anything like that. But recently, I had these dreams. And these dreams was like a God coming out of the sky. And I was on my knees. And I was crying in front of him. A bit like what we were singing and what Tim was talking about earlier. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. And I told him this story. And I said, listen, one of my pals on the door took me to a church. Because I told him about the dreams. And he said, the dreams will stop if you go to church. Now, I didn't plan to go to church. I didn't like the place. It was a church in Canning Town, East London. It was an Ealing Pentecostal church that met in a school building. I believe this is an Assemblies of God that's very closely related with Ealing, and I believe you used to meet in a school building, didn't you? And so it was in a school building in Canning Town. And I can remember we walked into that building and everyone was clapping and singing, and they looked happy. And I didn't like them or trust them. I didn't like the words. I wanted to escape. But before I got away that morning, they had these... All I thought, it was a bit spiritual. They had these kind of healers, and they were healing people at the end of the service. I knew nothing of the gospel or prayer or God or healing, and that's all I saw was these people like healing people. And I told him this story and said, maybe you should get yourself down there. Maybe they can help you at this church. Do you know what I mean? I didn't believe in God, and I was probably a God hater, really. But I remember he stopped crying. I thought, you know what? That's good. I'm going to get out of here. And I left. I was a head doorman out in a club out in Enfield. I'm standing on the door, car pulled up. My pal gets out of the passenger seat, walks over to me. He says, Ian, he says, I need to talk to you. Come here. Now, I've got to be honest with you. We were talking about revenge. We were talking about payback, getting our own back on these guys that had done this to us. But then he just suddenly broke down again. And he said, the reason I'm here, he said, it's suicide or church. That's how tough it is for men to get to church. People often say, how do you get men to church? I don't know. Suicide or church, apparently. I said, Ez, if it's that bad, I'll take you there myself. I thought, why did I say that? I've got myself... Anyway, I arranged to pick him up the next morning. It was a Saturday night. This was now Sunday morning. Picked him up, took him to this church in Canning Town. I remember walking in the door again. Now, the fella that took me the first time, Marcus, I told him I was never coming back. And now he's taking a double look at me. I'm coming, and I'm not only coming back, I'm bringing people. I'm an unbelieving, God-hating church worker. I don't know what's going on. I'm bringing people to church. And music, all the same stuff. Wanted to run. Didn't like the place. That's the truth. And I can remember before this particular morning, they didn't do any praying or healing. Instead, I suddenly found myself being given a cup of coffee. And I was standing with a cup of coffee. A couple of fellas were inviting us to a meeting on the Wednesday night. I thought, church twice in 1 week? Do they do that? And but my I said, no, I ducked out of it very quickly. I said, you know what? I'm working. I can't do it. But my pal Ez went, yeah, I'll come to that. I'll have some of that. It was a meeting in a place called Kensington Temple in Notting Hill Gate. if anyone knows that place. And they went from Gants Hill to Notting Hill Gate on the tube, and they had these two fellas and my pal Ez, they were telling Ez, there is a God, and God is able to heal you and help you, but you need to forgive the people that done this. And he was saying things like, oh, I can't forgive them, you don't know what they've done, they've wrecked my life. And but Ez said to me, do you know what, before I went to walk into that building, I just looked up at the sky and thought, God, if you're real, I forgive them. He went in and sat in the building. There was an American preacher preaching. For me, I worked that night on the door. I got home, fell asleep. Phone rang, picked up the phone. It was my pal Ez. Ian, he said, Jesus has healed me. Now, I thought he just had a little bit too much rum or whatever, you know. I says, yeah, I'll come see you tomorrow, pal. See you later. Put the phone down. I went to see him the next day. He told me about the story of the tube journey. He told me about what he'd said before he walked in the church. He said, Ian, I was sitting in the back of this building and this American guy was speaking and he suddenly pointed at me, got me to stand up. He started to tell me about all the pain and the injuries I'd been going through, all the headaches, all the problems, the fight, everything that was going on. He said, I thought someone had slipped him a few quid to make me feel better, you know. He said, then suddenly he pointed at me and he looked me in the eye and said, son, the Lord wants to thank you for forgiving the men that done this to you. He said, receive your healing now in Jesus' name. He said, as he said that, he said, I started to shake. I felt like electricity was going through me. I felt sweat going down my body. He said, people started putting their hands on me. I felt my eye tingling, my jaw started to move. He said, look here, my teeth are together. He had a hole previously you could put your finger in. He said, I can see. He said, I've been healed. Now, I thought, if there's a God, show yourself. If God is real, do something. I kind of thought that seeing is believing. But the truth is, it didn't work for me. I could see it, I could hear it, but I couldn't believe it. I couldn't have it. And it got worse for me because he went around telling my pals, Ian took me to church and Jesus healed me. And my mates were going, Ian, what's all that healing about? I pulled him aside and said, Ez, it's really good, but you want to keep it down. At least keep me out of the story, do you know what I mean? He never did. He's even written a book about this called I'm Asking You Nicely by Ez Cattell, all about how Jesus Christ healed him at Kensington Temple many years ago. We've got 180 kilos in the bar. The bar is bending in the racks, no room for any more weight. It's ridiculous stuff, I'm telling you, Joe. There's got to be other things we can do than lift weights. Please, put the music right up, Mark. Put your hands together. We got Joe Lampshire. Lift him for Jesus. Here we go. Come on, my friend. Give him a big clap. Yes! He's a powerhouse, I tell you. Excellent stuff. Give him a clap. That's awesome. Give him a big clap. Fantastic. That is ridiculous, I tell you. It's ridiculous. We're going to strip the bar down. We're going to get some of the volunteers up. And I've got Tim's nominated his sons. I've got the young lady there who's nominated. Is that your husband? It is. Okay, so he's been nominated. We've got a couple of the girls coming up. I don't know. We could be here all afternoon, you know. He wants all of them up. And Josh, you're coming up as well, is that right? And Alfie. And so these are Joe's boys. They only come under the condition they can come out and have a go. So we're going to have it's not going to be a quick competition. We'll try and speed it up a little bit, Joe. While Joe sets it up very quickly, I could not get this out of my head. There was something seriously wrong with my mind. I was under all sorts of problems. I had all sorts of heaviness, voices in my head. I used to say back in those days, there's something wrong with my nut. Nowadays we've got all technical terms, haven't we? And the right things to say that might not offend people. But that is how I felt. I felt full of depression, anxiety, voices. I'd sleep with a knife under my pillow. I couldn't walk outside my door without weapons on me. I was out on bail. I had a 7-year prison sentence hanging over my head. I'd been involved in all sorts of violence and crime for many years. I'm driving home from work one night and I'm sitting in my car and I turned the engine off. I was covered in some poor fella's blood and I sat there and thought about my pal and thought about everything that had been going on in the Christian sort of sense. And I sat there and said, God, if you're there, can you help someone like me? And as I said that, I suddenly felt guilty for the fight I'd just been involved in. And I said, Jesus, if you're real, would you forgive me for what I've done and what I am? And as I said that, I just broke down in tears. I felt something touching me all over my body, and I felt my heart cracking, and I sat there with tears in my eyes. I drove home and I had a miracle. I fell asleep. I hadn't slept in weeks. I used to sleep, as I said, with a knife and my hand on the handle of the knife, worrying who's coming through my door. But that night I felt this incredible sense of peace. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, come upon me that night and took that darkness and that depression. The voices, the swearing that was in my head, I thought it was just me. He took that darkness out of me. I woke up the next day feeling free. We sung earlier about who the Son sets free and freedom and set and all that stuff. I felt free. I went back to that church. Do you know what? It was one of the hardest things I'd ever done. I used to go back to work all the time after we'd been shot at and all sorts of things. And here I am going and struggling to walk in the back of a church. Don't ever underestimate how difficult it is to walk into a church. I walked in the back of that church and I was shocked that the people that I thought were so suspicious looking actually all looked all right. I thought, they changed in here. And actually, the music that made me want to run a few weeks before, I quite enjoyed it. It's unbelievable how spiritual all this is. Christianity is a spiritual thing. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a spirit. God is a spirit. And the Spirit of God touched my life, took away the darkness. He's the strong man that defeated our foe. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He not only swallowed up death, he made a show of principalities and powers when he died upon the cross. Jesus Christ defeated the darkness that's in this place. My life was transformed. The only answer, I get asked many times traveling around, the only answer for me, for this youth and the culture around us is the Spirit of God. Nothing will change me but being born again. Bible says he'll turn our hearts of stone into flesh and pour his Spirit in there. I became born again not by anything that I could work up or work out. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. We're going to take a couple of the girls, come up here then, come on, especially the ones going to uni, you've got to come up, haven't you, and your pal, come on, give them a big clap. Quick. I will take you over there then, come on. Yeah, I'm looking at you, come on, quick. Right. Tim, your sons are coming up apparently, are they? Come on then. Josh, you coming up? Yeah, look, we got enough room back. Oh, just get right back there. There you go. You coming up as well, my friend? Fantastic. So come up here, my friend, over there. Look at all these volunteers. Wow. Is that enough, Joe? Yeah, I want to go home for lunch, so that'll do us, won't it? So, we got another. Oh, I forgot about you, didn't I? Sorry, forgot about him. So this is the exercise you're going to be doing. I feel we might put a bit more weight on there, maybe, Joe. I don't know. Anyway, Joe, watch closely. Stop chatting. Here we go. We're going to take the bar out of the racks. We're going to take it to your body. Touch your body. Press it up. It's called a bench press. One who does the most is going to be the champion. Are you ready? Off you go then. No, I ain't joking. We're going to watch them, aren't we, Joe? We're going to protect them because we have a public liability insurance, don't we? But we don't like to use it, do we? Can you not go first? You're definitely going first now. Come on over here. Come here. So, the one who says I don't want to go first has to go first. What is your name?
Lisa.
Give Lisa a big clap, people, please. Lisa, you saw Joe do it. That's it. You're okay there? She's okay. She's all right. Yeah. So, all the way down. Mind that your head. That's very sensible. Very sensible. Okay, mind your head as you go down. Oh, look at that. Only a church would have something like that ready. Do you want to do the middle? You're either side? Okay, so we'll go. Have we got a bit of music for Lisa? So we're going to take the barbell out, Lisa. We're going to hold the bar at all times. We're going to take it down to your body. See if you can press it up. Push, 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 push. Oh, we'll take the bar. Joe, what are we saying? Mind your head as you go up. Lisa, mind your head as you go up. Fantastic. We're going to give you a rep. Oh, yeah, we definitely need the black cloth for the next young lady. Come up here, my friend. Come up here. Do you want to carefully place that over again? What was your name, my friend, my love?
Jasmine.
Give Jasmine a big clap. You've got to beat Lisa's one incredible repetition. So, mind your head as you go down. That's it. Tuck her in. Very good. Don't fall asleep on me. Keep that music going. Keep that music going, Mark. So, we're going to take... Jasmine, we're going to take the weight out, Joe. All the way down. You've got to be a single rep. Push, push. Oh, no. Oh, we'll take the bar. We're going to give you half a rep, Jasmine. Give her a big clap. Come up here next then, yeah. Okay, you're entering in the... you're going to enter into the... the young girl section, and so we got one to beat. What was your name?
Freya.
Freya, give Freya a big clap. Freya! You've got one repetition to beat. Get your grip. Okay, we'll take the bar out. All the way down, all the way down, touch your body. Ah! She's screaming in agony and pain. Okay, we'll just take the bar. I think we're not going to give you it. Do we give her anything? Give her a clap. Give her a clap. Awesome. We'll move on to the young men. I'll take you there, sir. Come over here. What is your name?
Daniel.
Daniel, give Daniel a big clap. Daniel, he's your dad over there, isn't he? He's been doing this many years, and I've yet to be impressed. No, I'm only joking. Okay, old Joe's going to watch you even easier. Okay, so Daniel, here we go. We've got one repetition to beat. Give him a big clap, people, please. All the way down, Daniel, come on. All the way down, touch, press. Oh, not bad. We'll give him one. We're going to give him one repetition. All on his own as well. Very impressive, son. Very impressive. So we'll take Josh. Why don't you come forward? Is he not coming up? You coming up as well? Come on, where you been? Come up. Okay. Here we go. So, what's his name? Joe. Is this Joshua as well? Sorry, I didn't realise we had Josh. We got Josh. My godson's on the bench. Give him a big clap. Big Josh. Come on, Josh. Oh. Not bad. Oh, trading dad, I'm telling you. Two. Come on. And again, Josh. Three. Now we're going to give you two. Big set for Joshua. I thought it was the other one. Come here. Here's the other. Come over here. Come on. You're good. You're just standing there. Okay. So, last but not least in the young people section, what is your name? Ethan, give Ethan a big clap, people, please. Keep that music going. Joe, what's he got to beat? Two. Okay, two reps to beat to take on Joshua. Here we go. Let's see what we can do. Get the grip. Come on, Ethan. Come on, looking good. All the way down. Press. Oh, one. Give him a clap. Two. Give him a clap. Oh, not bad. Joe, I'm impressed. One more. Ethan, much better than your dad. Fantastic. Wow. We're going to move on to the men, Joe. Okay. Why don't you introduce them? I'll put on some weight. There you go.
Okay. Okay. Moving on to the men. So who we got? Sir, what's your name?
Mick. Mark's dad.
Mick. Mark. Hello, Mark. How are you? We know Mark. Good to see you, Mick. What's your name, sir?
Andrew.
Who knows Andrew? Okay. And we have the guy that's leaving.
Ben.
And we have young Alfie that's just up here because he's my son.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. There we go. Okay. Mick. It was Mick, wasn't it? We've got 60 kilos on the bar. This is 125 pounds. You obviously have done a bit of training in your time, Mick. Is that right?
Yeah, I think you know Beaver.
We've got a ringer.
We'll let it go last.
Right, yeah, we're gonna build up to a crescendo. Right, you ready, Ben? Let's do it. Come on. Here we go. Ben's on the bar.
Here we go. So we got Ben. We have some of that excellent music. Going off to uni soon. Give him a big clap, Ben. Here we go. Come on. All the way down, Ben. And press. One. That's heavy, isn't it, Ben? Come on. Give him a clap. Two. One more. Take the bar. Give him a cheer. Take the bar for each other. I've been very impressive, Ben. Excellent stuff. Good luck with university and all that. Bless you, my friend. Not bad at all. Three repetitions, though. Next in line. This poor fellow was just... Sir, you didn't really want to come out. It was your wife's fault, innit? You know? Are you the treasurer of the church or something? Are they trying to get their own back on you for some reason? I don't know. What's your name? Give Andrew a big clap. Come on. Andrew doesn't mind. 60 kilos, watching closely. Joe's got you, don't worry. Give him a big clap, come on. All watching closely, Joe. Oh, one more. Bones! Last one. Take the bar, Joe. That's a lot of weight. Very impressive, sir. Give him a big clap. I'm going to give you two repetitions. We got Mark's son. Come up here. Now, I know. I met Mark yesterday. He was telling me that his dad used to train down at Fort Galaxy with Big Dean. No, Big Dean. What's your name, my friend?
Mick.
We got Big Mick. Give Big Mick a clap. Come on. Mick, mind your head as you go down. We know that you know what you're doing, but please mind your head as you go down. Fantastic, Joe. You're going to spot Big Mick. Hey, put that music on. Let's see what we got. Show him how to do it. Here we go. Here we go. Give him a clap, 60 kilos. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, come on, 17, 18, 19, 20. Oh, come on. We have a champion. Strongest man in Waltham Abbey, Big Mick. There's a prize for you, sir. Very impressive. For the young man over there, big clap. There you go. And for the young lady who did one repetition. I think it was it which one won? I can't remember. Come over here. There you go. Give all the rest of them a big clap. Alpha, you're too late. Go take your seats, guys. Go take your seats. You didn't want to, no worries. Go take a seat over there. Fantastic. Give them all a clap. They were amazing. Wow. Good stuff. So, very quickly, we'll wrap up this and make some sense of everything we've heard. We believe if it was not for our faith in Jesus Christ. Personally, I don't believe I'd be alive. Joe would be a proper mess, I'm sure of that. God has a way of not just getting you sorted out and structured, but giving you a purpose and a calling and the gift of eternal life. What an awesome thing. The Bible tells us that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Spirit. Now, I want to finish with this final story. I was out with my pal of mine, Arthur, who Pastor Tim knows, and we were in South Africa in some of the prisons out there, working away in the prisons in South Africa. And there was one particular afternoon we'd been in the gyms and some of these places. South Africa is a really strange place. And are you here today, the South African fella that I was with yesterday? Is he not? No, he was. That was your pal, wasn't it? Yeah. Let me tell you this. As dark as it is, as wicked as the prisons are, like hell on earth, actually preaching the gospel compared to Europe and England is actually quite easy. These people are desperate. They're desperate for hope. They're desperate for life. I was in one prison where there was something that looked like it had been burnt and left in the corner. I found out they'd wrapped up this fella in a mattress and burnt him alive. And they just left the body and the remains in the corner. And we were, even though we were there that day, they didn't care. The atmosphere in some of these places, the smell in some of these places is terrible. And I've visited prisons from Russia, all across Eastern Europe, Asia, India, across Hong Kong, all sorts of places. But this particular one was a real hellhole. And we had this one particular session in the afternoon. And we'd finished with these guys, and they had some questions and answers they wanted to ask us. And one of the guys at the front put up his hand. He said, I've got a couple of questions, and I wasn't going to argue with him. He was a big fella, and he looked like he'd been around the block a bit, no teeth, and tattoos everywhere. He said, look, he said, "How? First question, how did you get out of the gang? How did you get out of the gang you was involved in? And I said, well, you've got to understand, it was a different type of gang than what you guys are involved in. It was a kind of a firm. It was hard to explain. I said, but it was very easy in England, because when I started telling my pals about Jesus, they soon left me, you know. If you want to get rid of someone, start talking about Jesus, they disappear very quickly. He didn't quite get that. He didn't understand that. And but he put his hand up again and said, look, he said, my real question is this. He said, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ, but I am a wicked man. I've done lots of evil. Is is Jesus able to forgive me for murder? Is he able to forgive me for the stuff that I've done? And we spent the next few minutes sharing about if you're sincere, he's able. He died upon the cross for the wretched of the wretch. I believe that if you put your hope in him, you will become born again, transformed. And we shared some gospel message with him. He said, look, my real question is this. If I become a Christian today, and I want to, but if I become a Christian today, I won't be alive in the morning. I said, why is that, my friend? He said, because I run the gang in this prison. And if I renounce the gang, if I renounce and repent and turn the other way, now these fellas know about the gospel more than what we do over here. He said, if I repent and turn and go God's way, I will not make it alive in the morning. They will take my life. I know that because I've carried that sentence out on many people. He said, I will not survive the night. What have you got to say to that? That is a sobering, serious question, isn't it? And I didn't know what to tell this fella. I wanted him to be a Christian with all my heart, but I didn't want him to lose his life. What do I say? And I was with my pal Arthur White, who's older and wiser than me. And he says, Ian, do you mind if I answer this question? I said, yeah, please do, Arthur. It's all yours. And he stepped forward and he said, look, son. He said, I've abused my body with steroids and cocaine. I've had metal shoulders, metal hips, metal knees, 6 or 7 heart operations. I think he's up to about 8 now. He said, I've nearly died many times. He said, but it's like this. He said, I've been told not to drive, not to travel. I've been told not to get on a plane. I'm here against the doctor's advice. He said, I could die at any moment from a stroke or a heart attack, but I'm in a win-win situation. He said, because if I live, I'm going to be with the Lord. And if I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. He said, son, we all live inside a body. The real soul, the real person lives inside the body. Our bodies are going to die one day. He said, if I die tonight, if I die in 5 years, I'm going to die. My body will die. He said, and on that day, I'm going to stand before my maker. He said, but I've done peace with my creator by receiving what Jesus done upon the cross. He alone trod the winepress of God's wrath and fury. He took our sins and cleansed my heart. He died, rose again from the grave that I may have eternal life. Jesus died upon the cross and rose again and conquered death. He said, son, it's better to live, whether we live or die, to be with the Lord. I don't know what happened to that fella, but I know he prayed a prayer with all the inmates in that place that day. They bowed their heads and prayed. I believe God is the God of the living. I believe that man's alive for eternity. People, I want you to bow your head, close your eyes with me. The Bible tells me that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For God demonstrates his love towards us, yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have been like Joe or myself. You may actually have been growing up in a Christian home and think everything is okay. But have you been convicted of your sins? Have you made him Savior? And have you made him Lord of your life? Have you challenged your heart and surrendered your heart to his Lordship and said, Jesus, don't not just save me, but let be Lord of all my decisions? Have you asked him and invited him into that place to take control of your soul and your spirit? I want to put it to you this morning that those fellas prayed that prayer that day and it cost them everything. It cost to follow Jesus Christ. It costs everything. Have you weighed the cost? It's not easy walking with Jesus. It costs you a lot. But let me tell you, you gain eternity. You gain peace. You gain the knowledge that the Creator loves you. He died upon the cross for you. He knows the very hairs on your head. Your name is written in his hand. He's engraved in his heart. He knows you from the moment you were born, before you were conceived. Behold, now is the day of decision. Fears and doubts that put and obstruct you before God. Today, don't let them fears stop you. Don't let the sin of doubt and unbelief keep you out.